3-under between Aldrich Potgieter of South Africa, Stephen Yeager of Germany, Minwoo Lee of Australia, and Ryo Hisatsune of Japan, all shooting 3-under 67s. Rory McIlroy shot a 4-over 74 and is 7 shots off the lead. Baseball, the Seattle Mariners placed catcher Cal Raleigh on the 10-day injured list with a right oblique strain. On the field right now, Seattle's got a 3-0 lead at Houston in the bottom of the third inning on a 3-run home run by Luke Raley, his 10th of the season. The Pirates up 7-2 over the Colorado Rockies going to the bottom of the 8th inning. It's Cincinnati 14, the Washington Nationals 1 in the bottom of the 8th inning. Cincinnati getting 2 home runs by J.J. Bleda. He now has 6 home runs on the season.
Fox Sports Update on the Right Choice, KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your Agribusiness Update. Well, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and farm groups are emphasizing the importance of mental health support for farmers and ranchers facing growing stress. More than two-thirds of farmers and rural residents lack adequate access to mental health providers due to distance, workforce shortages, and the stigma surrounding mental health care. The NFU, American Farm Bureau Federation, and Farm Credit are working together to expand access to counseling resources, connect producers with care options, and strengthen support systems in rural communities. Well, the USDA has finalized new stocking requirements for retailers participating in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program to increase access to healthier foods for millions of Americans. Under the updated rules, SNAP-authorized stores must now carry 7 varieties of food across 4 categories: protein, grains, dairy, and fruits and vegetables. This more than doubles previous requirements and places greater emphasis on perishable and whole foods, while closing loopholes allowing some snack foods to meet minimum requirements. And fertilizer prices have climbed sharply following the conflict in Iran, raising concerns about high production costs for farmers. Analysts say nitrogen fertilizers have seen the largest increases due to disruptions in the Strait of Hormuz. Experts say many farmers may avoid the worst impact in 2026 because inputs were purchased earlier, but the financial strain could intensify next year.
Horn flies can take a bite out of your cattle's performance. These pests feed on cattle up to 30 times a day, stressing animals and cutting into profits. Fight back. SmartLick Supplements low moisture blocks, available with Altacid or Clarify, help break the horn fly life cycle. Less fly pressure means cattle can spend more time grazing and growing. Take control of fly problems this season. Visit SmartLick.com. That's SmartLIC.com to find your dealer.
Today, we're talking with aphids and whiteflies about Safina insecticide from BASF.
We just got nailed with it.
So tell us, how you feeling?
Really, really weird.
And you still want to devour this field?
Mm-mm. No way, bro.
There you have it, folks. Safina insecticide is specifically engineered to disorient aphids and whiteflies so they can't eat. And when they can't eat, they can't destroy.
Help protect your alfalfa from aphids with Safina insecticide. Always read and follow label directions.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are trying to hold on to gains in afternoon trading as the AI trade continues to gain momentum. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 are on track for new record closes. Shares of NVIDIA are up 4% for a new record high after the U.S. cleared some China firms to buy its H200 AI chips. NVIDIA's market cap is topping $5.5 trillion. And shares of Cisco Systems are up 12% after delivering a better-than-expected earnings report. The The company is seeing robust demand for its hardware for artificial intelligence. Cisco also said that it would be slashing around 4,000 jobs as it refocuses more on its AI business. And some good news for home buyers. The average long-term mortgage rate posting its first drop after rising the previous 2 weeks and falling to 6.36%, according to Freddie Mac. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hilary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm alpine skier Michaela Schifrin. I've won the most World Cup ski races in history. But what does success mean to me? Success means discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us, and it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management firms in the country. If you're looking for success, surround yourself with the people who will get you there. If you're an advisor or investor, choose Stifel, where success meets success.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult a financial advisor before making any investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
The men who came to dinner had to wait through an hour of insults from their host before the first course was served. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
We've heard a lot of talk lately about it just being a matter of time before we normalize our relations with Castro's Cuba. The talk got its first big push last fall when two U.S. senators, one a Democrat, one a Republican, took off for Havana with a bevy of newsmen, but without approval from the State Department. We haven't had diplomatic relations with Cuba for some 15 years, but the senators thought they'd engage in some personal diplomacy to see if Mr. Castro had softened up a bit. He treated them to a one-hour vitriolic harangue against the United States. If our two senators were indignant about the insult, they didn't show it. They sat down to dinner with him as if nothing had happened. About the same time, a privately endowed group, the Commission on U.S. Latin American Relations, sent the president a 54-page report urging that we lift the embargo on trade with Cuba. We're hearing a steady drumbeat of like-minded newspaper and magazine articles. Why the concerted campaign to open trade and diplomatic relations with the Cuban dictator, whose people have lived since 1959 in egalitarian poverty? Surely the yearning for Havana cigars can't be that great. The rationale seems to be that there's nothing to be gained in continuing the isolation of Castro's communist island, therefore we should be gentle to him. Very little has been said of what we should expect from him in exchange for a lifting of the embargo and for recognition by the United States. If, in fact, the time has come for us to reevaluate our Cuban policy, let's do it with a solid quid pro quo in mind. That's Latin for something. I give you this, you give me that, we make a deal. It's done every day by millions of people in their business and personal transactions. At the November meeting of the Organization of American States, the United States abstained from voting on a resolution to lift the trade embargo on Cuba. Well, now, that's better than voting yes, but it's not as good as voting no. The resolution didn't get the required vote, but it was close. Before we change our position, let's define the quo that we want for our quid. Let's demand satisfactory answers from Castro to these questions. First, what will he do about Soviet military bases in the island? They should be removed. Second, what will he do to assure the other nations of the Western Hemisphere that he will no longer train, equip, and support communist guerrillas in other American states? A free and open inspection program in Cuba might help. Third, what will he do about the $1.5 billion worth of U.S. citizens' property his government seized? Fourth, what will he do to assure former Cubans, now U.S. citizens, of the freedom to visit Cuba unhindered and without harassment? Fifth, What will he do to guarantee the restoration of individual freedoms to the people of Cuba? Now, he may argue that that question interferes with the internal affairs of his nation. And that's a little odd, because he's been interfering in the internal affairs of other Latin American nations for 15 years, and never on the side of individual liberty. Instead of U.S. senators making fools of themselves, and instead of self-appointed study groups suggesting we hand Castro what he wants, let's do some good old-fashioned horse trading. In the process, maybe we can bargain the bombastic dictator into restoring liberty to his people. They need it. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And today we're going to be talking with San Luis Obispo County Supervisor John Pashon. We're going to be talking about things going on in the counties, things going on with the election, things going on with just about everything. I have a number of questions. And this is obviously, we're in full election mode, which is crazy time.
We got, what do we have? How many? 3 weeks, I think. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
And it's coming down to the June 2nd primary date.
So it's coming quickly and moving forward and everything else. Yeah. What did you think about the latest faux pas with the clerk recorder's office?
Which faux pas was that?
The one
that left out some stuff?
Well, they didn't. The American Independent Party sent over. The interesting thing with this, so the Republican Party doesn't have their meeting, so they have almost no endorsements. The Democrats can't pick a governor, so they have very little endorsements. And these guys have all these endorsements, and they leave it out.
Yeah.
But okay, I got to ask you. Uh-huh. It came out a while back that they should have a policy and procedure book and have a better way of doing this. Why? I don't know why they don't have a template and a list of questions on each page. Make sure this is done, this is done.
Well, and it's not like there have other counties in the state, 58 counties. Everybody does do it differently, but there are some counties that are on it, right, that really, really do take this seriously and make it work. And I give you the example. You know, and so I think you can just look for examples of things that work. What are the best management practices? And take those from other counties. And I think, you know, like, to me, the big one is the count. You know, if you look at Ventura County, which has about 500,000 voters, they'll be done within 24 hours counting the ballots. And yes, they have some cleanup, they have some additional things, but, I mean, it's such a quicker response time. And I think that's what, you know, I get the complaints at my office about why the count takes so long, and I can't answer that question.
And we are one of the worst counties in California. I think last election, we were major election, we were second from the last.
I do think, because we did, we have done some things in that office where we've opened up in the ability for people to monitor and check the ballots and do all that, and that's done very publicly and transparently now. And so I think this election should be more transparent in the counting of the ballots. I do believe it will be quicker. We'll just have to see, though, because right now, if you look at it, I think we've only had in the return ballots is only like 4 or 5%, you know, countywide right now. And so to me, that tells me that there's going to be a big, you know, and this happens when you have 40 people running for governor and everybody wants to go through every name to figure out who to vote for. it takes people longer, and so they don't send it in right away. It's the same thing happens on the ballot that has multiple ballot initiatives, and all these different tax increases, and people go through the ballot and they really review everything. And so that's why I believe the voter pamphlets are so important, because people do read them. In San Luis Obispo County, people do read them, and so people want to be informed, and so that means that there's going to be a big push at the very end for a lot more ballots to get in. But it will be a low turnout election. It's a primary election in a gubernatorial year, so we will not have very high turnout. There will be people that will probably find the ballot in July and August in the stack of magazines, and they'll make the decision that they missed the primary election. They'll have to vote in the general election.
And there's a lot of races that are not, both our supervisor races will be determined.
There will be no runoff, that is correct.
And I think most likely the clerk recorder will be determined.
Yes.
I think it's going to be...
There's a number of those types of races. Then you get, the partisan races, which, would be your assembly and senate, would be your congressional races. They will obviously go, the top two will go to the runoff in November, and the gubernatorial election, and then all the seven statewide constitutional offices will go there too. And so you get, all throughout the numbers there, the insurance commissioner, the race for, if you just go down, the treasurer, the auditor, controller, all those.
It's going to be an interesting month.
You need to speak up, or the mic needs to be turned up.
Oh, we're going to turn
both of us.
Mic up.
You need to turn. You need to speak closer, or the mic needs to turn up.
I am. We're cranked up. Or should I switch microphone?
No, is that better?
I hope it's better. I hope you can hear me.
I don't hear you real loud myself, and I don't know why. Let's try this. Oh no, you're on that. You're on the wrong mic. Let me turn three on. I had you on. Okay, now talk.
Okay.
Okay, what it was. You're sitting in the number two seat, but you're using the number three mic.
It was looking right at me when I walked in.
I turned on the number two mic, so that's why we were having. That's why I kept playing with my
numbers. It's interesting because, if I hadn't been so late, and I was late, I know everybody was a little nervous I wasn't going to show up. This microphone was pointing right at me, so I just slid right in. So that's my fault.
No, it's my fault. I pushed the wrong button.
I want Kevin to know that it's my fault, Kevin. And that won't happen again, I promise.
And I'm blaming myself. I know what mic that is, for goodness sakes. But anyway, so you'll be able to hear more now?
Yes, now I'll be able to explain a lot more about what's going on here.
I kept playing with my sound over here thinking, is my mic want? Anyway.
There you go.
So it is going to be an interesting election. I want to get into a couple of the races. I was stunned when the Tribune endorsed Michael Aaron Woody.
I think, though, if you go back and you remember, I got endorsed in the race I had, my first re-election race, and I didn't expect it because I didn't get endorsed before, but I had written editorials for a number of years for the Tribune, and so I think the Tribune kind of looks at the whole county as a whole, and they made the decision, they talked to everybody, they always do, they ask questions, they're very inquisitive. I expected them to not endorse Michael Aaron Woody, but he's an independent candidate, not a Republican like I am, but an independent candidate. And they interviewed Jim too, and I think they made the decision. I was a little surprised because of the underdog nature of Michael Aaron Woody's campaign, right? He's out there walking precincts. He's got a sign program. He's got he's out there kind of doing those grassroots activity, and he's really working hard. So I guess they probably saw that too.
I had Michael on my show, and he made a comment. You're a political consultant.
I am.
So what he Some brought days. Up is. We were talking about Morro Bay,
mm-hmm.
and he said it's different in a big city. When you have a big city like San Luis Obispo, people vote partisan. If it's mostly Democrats, they vote for Democrats. But he said when you're at 10,000 or smaller in a community, they vote for issues.
You know everybody. I mean, this is the thing. He's lived there forever. He's on the tribal council of the Salinan tribe of Monterey and San Luis Obispo County, so he's been active in the community, and so people know him. And to me, that's, you know, that's the nature of a small town. And you go to small towns that elect their mayor, right? Mayors get elected because they know everybody in the community. They've been involved in the Little League, or they've been involved in, you know, some of the nonprofits and the community ones that are visible and are seen in the community. That's one of the easiest things to do. I mean, remember when I first ran, there was four people that in that race, and one of them was Mayor Steve Martin, and I did run against Steve Martin, and he was a nice guy, got along with him really well, but I ran, but a lot of people came up to me and said, you don't know who you are. Now, I had been involved in a number of nonprofit local community operations. I was on the fair board, the California Mid-State Fair, and I had done a lot of youth agriculture things, 4-H with my kids, and so I knew a lot of people, and I just worked it that way. The other thing, too, that changed was I lived in the county. I lived in Templeton, still live there, but Templeton and San Miguel and Chandon, which are all part of the first district, was about 50% of those voters in the county were 50%, and the city was 50%. It always wasn't that way. It used to be like 70-30 city people versus the outside. So, you know, I just knew what I had to do, which was talk to the people in the county section and then pull off some of the votes in the city. So, but it's a dynamic. It's the same thing going on in Morro Bay, because you know everybody, you know, but you also have Cayucas in that district. You also have Cambria in that district. You have Los Osos in that district. Those are all county properties.
And do you think it's more about issues? Because, for example, in Cayucas, their big issue is the sewer.
Yeah.
Or the water. And then you have
The wind. Wind energy. The wind energy to me is the issue over there, because the mayor there and everybody else, they've all been talking about this now for going on 4 years of discussing it and watching the bids go out and watching people get interested, and then where are they going to do the setup for be able to get these, you know, these wind mills built and put out there. And so it's been a community discussion. And so, yes, you have to be known on one side or the other of that issue.
And I do. So in smaller communities, the issues are the main
100%. 100%. They want to know where you stand on something. It's like the batteries in Napomo right now. The battery, you know, everybody wants to know where everybody stands on the battery plant that was put into Napomo. You know, and that's a discussion. In Templeton, we had an issue when I first ran, and it was all about a mental health facility on Los Tablas across from the hospital. And it still hasn't been built, but that was the issue. And there were people would come up to me and they heard I was going to run. They came up to me. I had written an editorial on it too, because I was not supportive of the location. But they, you know, they, and it still hasn't been built. So I don't know why, because it did pass the Board of Supervisors they approved it. It was the issue at the time.
And I think it would be good for the county to have a mental health facility.
Yeah, I think so too. And there's going to be one here in Paso Robles. I will tell you the other issue that just popped up in Templeton, at least, was the roundabout that there were people wanted to put in the up there on Vineyard. There's going to be a roundabout there, and it was going to take, I don't know, probably 40% of people's front yards to be able to put this roundabout together, and then they were going to do a temporary roundabout, and it's been moved now, so it's not going to happen. And I didn't vote for it because the community didn't want it, and so they want to know where these kind of, you know, these bread and butter issues, these hot button issues are, where you stand on them, you know, where you support. And I think, too, a lot of times, you know, some of the bigger corporations that want to do some of these bigger projects, you know, they don't do a lot of community work, and so they get sideways with the community, and there's no coming back.
No, I agree. And the roundabouts are so political.
They are.
You know, and the one they did at Vineyard Drive in 46.
Uh-huh.
I know people that were up in arms, and after it went in, they were still up in arms for a month or two, and then they were going, oh, I like this better. And it was like, wow, from hate to like to it's going better, but it wasn't that way at first. Do you like the dog leg in Paso?
So, the figure eight. I actually think it's kind of fun. to be honest, driving it. You know, now I don't want to say whether I'm for or against it because it's in the city of Paso. They had to make the decision. But for me, it's kind of like, you know, I get my truck and I just kind of cruise through it, you know, and around, and I come back out and I don't miss any of the exits. It's all pretty good. I go to that car wash up there, and then my dentist has windows that overlook that. So when I'm getting my teeth cleaned, I watch people try to navigate it, and it is actually kind of fun to watch people try to figure out the figure eight or the dog bone, as you call it. So yeah,
I was the one I think that's a little weird right now is the one over in there's some roundabouts in Slow over by the Slow Market, San Luis Ranch, and those are a little, they're very, very tiny. I don't even know how they're getting.
They remind me of the one, so my daughter went to school in Scotland at the University of St. Andrews, and so I'd go over a lot, and you go the wrong way around the roundabout, but some of them would be just a circle painted in the middle of the street, right, with not a bump or wasn't raised or anything, and you just kind of would go through it, right, and I don't know if you're, you know, what the purpose of the smaller ones is, to be honest with you. But there is a discussion actually going on because there's a temporary roundabout program set up by the state to be able to do temporary roundabouts. Now, I don't believe there's any such thing as a temporary roundabout. I think it's going to be temporary until it's permanent, right? It's just there's no turning back. But there's a the one that they were going to do in Templeton on Vineyard and Bethel, the one that is no longer going to take those people's front yards, that one they're talking about now putting it, like, I think on 14th and Mission in San Miguel where the stop sign is, to see if that makes it easier for people to get around. So that hasn't been decided yet. That's still a community discussion. So if you have an opinion on that, please give me a call and let me know your opinion on that, and I will look into that more, but I haven't heard from a whole lot of people yet on whether they would support it in San Miguel.
And what about the ones out on, what is it, the road to Wasna? Not Wasna, the road to Broad Street turns into a highway, and there's, how are the discussions going
about
that? Well,
remember, we had voted against the one that is Los Ranchos into the kind of the country club area in San Luis Obispo. Now, my parents used to live there, they've since passed away, but they lived out that way. And the neighbors are always coming up to me telling me, we don't support this, we don't want this. So, but I think it's actually moving forward. So I don't actually know, but it's going to take some getting used to for a number of people.
That's a very controversial one.
It is because of the traffic on 227 there, right? That's the one, and they're saying that it would probably, you know, not do that properly. So I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see how that one goes. But then there's a couple other streets in the city of San Luis Obispo that has new roundabouts, and you know they move pretty well, though. You know, some of the roundabouts that I've been in, some of the really big ones that Caltrans has been doing, like up in Northern California and things like that, some of them are just giant, right? With multiple, you know, three or four different ways you can go out, and people get all, you know, they go around in circles. So
I've done some of those myself.
Yeah.
But planning is very important. I'm going to ask you a question, and I know the answer to this one.
Okay.
But I had someone that gave me a call and said, would you ask John a question for me? And I said, I said, he's not supposed to do that. They said, well, just ask him. You don't go to the Paso Robles City Council meetings because on a regular basis, and you're not supposed to be going and making decisions. Explain why. Why is he not more involved in city government?
Well, we do some city government work here, and I have a relationship with all the members of the city council. I will tell you that when it comes to public health, you know, there are specific things that counties do that we work with the cities on. But there's a lot of things like the roads here in the city of Paso Robles that we don't work with them unless we sign an agreement. Now, we did do Jardine Road up there. There's the section, a one-mile section, and we went to the city, when our roads crew went to the city and got a an effort to be able to work on that one section of road together, because it was actually, you'd be on the county road, and then you'd get the city road. The city road would be, had a lot of potholes in it, and then we came to the city and said, let's work together on this, and so we did, and so the county crew did do that, and the city paid for part of that. So we do work on things together, but a lot of times there's a lot of things like the fire department and the police department. You know, we have the sheriff's department and we have Cal Fire in the county section. So there are things we work on, but I've probably been to a handful of city council meetings, and it's not because I have any animosity towards them. I just, that with the things that we work on, we usually work on, you know, the staffs work on them together, and then they come together and we get stuff done.
And I do also, and this isn't you, but I do notice that the sheriff's department seems to work pretty hand in hand with some of the police departments.
They do. They have great relationships with it, and yeah, as Cal Fire does with the city fire department.
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with John Pashon.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County, with two locations, on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
I've got deals on latex beds. I've got deals on memory foam beds.
We're talking to Rich London, the mattress specialist.
I've got beds with springs, hybrids, where they got springs and memory foam, or springs and latex, or some with even springs, latex, and memory foam. I've got them all.
Big savings now on mattresses of all shapes and sizes at the Mattress Specialist at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers welcomes Heather Bordan to its team of commercial property casualty professionals. With more than 20 years of experience, Heather can design insurance solutions that protect your business. Whether you're a contractor, winery owner, farmer, rancher, or manufacturer, Heather is the right person to survey your needs and develop innovative solutions to protect your most important asset. Contact Heather today, 805-540-3900, or Heather at AdlerBelmontGroup.com.
Do you remember that great Stein's Deli in Atascadero that had those amazing bagels? They're selling wholesale all over the place. Your kids are eating them at the schools and even at Valley Fresh Market. Now you can buy the bagels every Saturday morning from 8 to noon at their commercial kitchen, 2917 Union Road, Suite G in Paso Robles, just off Golden Hill. Order the Big Apple with lox and cream cheese, or the Bacon and Egg Cheese Bagel, or just pick up a dozen great bagels. Follow them on Facebook or call ahead to order at 805-975-5520.
Welcome back to Sound Up. My name is Karen Vili, your host on Wednesday and Thursday. I'm here with John Pashon. We're going to go over a lot of things. We're going to talk about some of the things that the county has voted on recently, some issues with water in multiple communities. And after the top of the hour, but I did want to bring up, bring up my lawsuit a little bit.
Okay.
I'm so glad that is over. But the frustrating thing here was, with a slap motion, a judge is supposed to hear a slap motion within 60 days. And in my case, we filed the slap motion. And if you've read the Tribune article, it's completely inaccurate. I honestly don't know if the reporter actually read the motion. We filed a slap motion on a number of things, primarily and nothing to do with service. We filed a slap motion and said, it's accurate. She was using two names. She continues to use two names. She is even using two names now. And yes, we did say her real name was Belcher, not Bernat. But she had changed her name to Bernat and then put it under seal, and we immediately corrected it. The judge did determine it was a frivolous lawsuit and it should not go forward. The Tribune article says we filed a motion that service was inaccurate. Service was not inaccurate. The Tribune columnist, Clive Pender, working with others, tried to claim Calcos News filed the slap motion too late because we were properly served in the beginning. This was not something Calcos News said, or I said. This was something someone tied to the Tribune said. I was just surprised that she would say the motion was about that when that was something that was brought up by other people.
I think you should explain what the acronym SLAP means for people that are not as well-versed.
What does SLAP mean again? Let me look it up. Sorry.
Because I think too, you know, there's, you know, out there in the community, I mean, this has to do with lawsuits, right? The frivolous lawsuits, or what could be considered just lawsuit fare.
Yes, SLAP. It's called an anti-SLAP. It's something about going after the public or the. Let me find exactly. Developer. They were passed in response to libel suits against community members. Activists and journalists prevent them from speaking out or reporting on matters of public interest. The judge also determined it was of public interest. Did you look it up?
So it stands for an anti-SLAP motion, stands for strategic lawsuit against public participation. So it's a lawsuit that is special legal procedure used to quickly dismiss meritless lawsuits intended to silence free speech on public issues. In California, this allows defendants to file a special motion to strike within 60 days of a complaint, halting discovery and often awarding attorney's fees to the winning party. So a slap suit is often a defamation or similar claim filed by a wealthier party to bully a critic into silence through high legal costs. And so you would then file your slap motion to, which is a strategic lawsuit against public participation to allow you to continue to participate publicly.
And the other thing is California law requires the judge to give us attorney fees.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, generally, it would be about 10 grand. A slap motion will cost the other side right about 10 grand. But when you make, they kept filing stuff. You know, they had statements from Clive Pender and Ty Lewis and John Belcher or Jody Bernat, different people. John Belcher was the attorney in the case. Then he was no longer allowed to practice law, so they got in Jeff Minnery at the very end. And but again, it went, I think, 8 months after it was filed rather than the 60 days that it's supposed to go.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. They're supposed to be quick because it's about, as I just read to you, public participation.
Yes.
You know?
And what they were trying to do was, you had Clive Pender hire Ty Lewis to follow my family and I around. Ty Lewis would sit outside my daughter's house and follow me. You know, say I'd go to a restaurant and he would get a table nearby and glare at me. He wouldn't order food or drink. He did it multiple times. I finally checked into the private eye rules. And first of all, when you take a case with someone that you think is against you, Ty Lewis thought I was conspiring against him. When you take a case like that, you... it will very often not allow you to testify when you go to court, but you aren't allowed to let them see you following them. You're not supposed to sit there, you know, they go to the grocery store, pull up in front of them, make sure they see you and know you're following them. And what they said to do was just send him an email, stop. I've seen you following me. My daughter has seen you following her. Stop following us immediately. And immediately cease and desist. That is the legal way to do it. So we went that route, and we told him to stop. And then he sent out an email to the sheriff and to the Dan Dow saying she threatened me, and I might have to get a help with this, that he was afraid of me or something. It was like, if you're afraid of me, why are you following me? But anyway, it was kind of an interesting issue. But we're going to get back to the county after we come back after the top of the hour.
AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM KPRL.com Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.